Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, Jamie's running a little late tonight, so we're going to change things up just a touch. We are going to start with 100, and then go on from there. So, bear with me just a moment, folks. And I'm going to Karen in. Good evening.
Hello, AJ. Good evening.
Okay.
Yes. It's time for Fandom Access.
Sure.
Yay.
Yes, it is. So, I understand we're starting with 100.
Yes. Let's jump right in and get that out of the way.
All right. Well, we've got to make it last long enough for Jamie to get here.
Yeah, Jamie's going to be a little bit late, right? So, all right. So, let's just jump right in there. About the 100?
How are you feeling about the 100, yes?
Well, I'm feeling not so good about the 100. there's a bunch of stuff that happened this week that I'm just not sure I really, like, understand why these characters are acting the way they're acting. I don't know. There was a lot of weirdness. So, so let's start with, what should we start with? Let's start with Dioza and Octavia in her old lady makeup, in her old lady costume. This planet makes no sense whatsoever. Like, when she, like, hid in the swamp, in the quicksand last week, while the fire went over her head, or whatever that was going on there, being in the quicksand ice aged her. She's wearing like 80-year-old lady makeup, right?
I'm a little confused by it, actually.
Yeah, because it makes, like, they're not even having a pretense of pretending anything's remotely scientific. They're just like on a magic planet now.
Pretty much. but the thing about her hand, like, she was based under the ice or whatever the heck it was. And he says this week that her hand, you know, was exposed. But
right.
Wasn't exposed. Or did she get her hand get hit? Like, I can see how her hand got hit with the whatever.
Yeah, because, like, I agree with you. I don't recall seeing her with, like, her hand sticking up out of the quicksand.
Yeah, it was.
Right? She wasn't, like, sticking out of the quicksand. But he is claiming now that her hand was, like, sticking out of the quicksand and it got burned by the fire or lightning or whatever it was that went over her. And it's like, it's an infection that's, like, spreading through her body now. That's why he was going to chop her hand off, right? It's kind of like in The Walking Dead, when you get bit by a zombie,
great. You
have to chop your hand off, right?
She's like, cut it off. I'm like, go Octavia. I'm like, she's just
it's been a long time since we felt like saying, go Octavia.
Yeah, but my fantastic.
That was an improvement this week.
You know,
but
something has occurred to me this week. You know, because I didn't hate the episode. I did have a couple problems, but there were a couple things I did like about the episode. But you know, I got thinking. I'm like, how would I feel about this season if last season didn't take place, or at least the first, like. How many episodes last season? 13, 16?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
13, maybe?
Right.
I don't know.
Say this. I think there's 16 this season. So, if the first 13 episodes didn't happen last season, and we just got the last three, and then got this season, how would I feel, you know? Because I'm still very jaded by last season. You know, I mean, granted, I mean, this season, you know, it would be funny because then we'd be like, why is Octavia acting like, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
It's better than last season so far, but there's, like you said, people are doing things that don't make sense. However, the things I did like, I liked Raven. I thought the conversation Raven had with the Prime was really good. I liked the way that Raven, you know, she's not mincing words. You know, she's being very aggressive about it. But in a civil way, you know, kind of like only Raven can do. I mean, we've seen Raven do it before, so she's totally in character, you know?
She is. It's helpful that she has the moral high ground. She's like the only, I mean, she made a good point that she's the only person who hasn't, like, killed someone to help her people survive, right? When someone says to her, we've all done that, and she's like, I haven't.
Yeah.
So she does have the moral high ground, which, she's okay. She's doing okay as a character.
You know what else helps, though? But you know what else helps, though, is that Prime, I don't want to call him sympathetic, but at least he's not as, we're the best, and, you know, we deserve this, and, you know, he's not as egotistical as Josephine, you know? So, you know, he's trying to make an argument for it until Raven says to him, so is this your last body?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah.
One of the other things I like, I did like the stuff with Echo, because she's, you know, that's she's in character for what she did. She, you know, figured things out pretty quick. Echo's always been very smart. She's, you know, pretty much going to spy her entire life, you know?
Yeah.
I thought the way things went down with the chick that was following her was pretty good. And Bellamy, to a point, my favorite line in the episode is when Bellamy says, to, you know, when they put Murphy in, which that scene was somewhat bad, but somewhat good, because Murphy's like, so what are we going to do? And Bellamy's like, we're going to kill them all and take theirs. And then Murphy says, where's Blood Raider when we need her?
Yes, that is awesome. that was
like
pretty good.
That exchange right there, I thought that was really, really great.
I was a little confused because there's so he does say, like, we're going to kill them all and take this place for ourselves. But there's another point when they say, Bellamy, what should we do? And he says, you know, we're going to do what Clark would do. We survive. Which, at the time, I thought was sort of implying that, like, we're not going to fight. We're going to do what we have to do to stay here on this planet and be allowed to live here. But that's not – I, like, misunderstood it because he means we're going to fight. Killing Clark,
I don't know,
is, like,
though,
the worst thing they could have
– See, I actually –
Yeah, it's
okay. – What made you change your mind?
Well, I was sort of reflecting on him being like, we're going to kill them all and take their, you know, take their planet from them. I did think at the time that he said it that it was further reflection that made me reinterpret.
Gotcha. I took it at face value only because I think Bellamy, and this makes sense to me, this is one of the other things I kind of like, was for Bellamy, on one hand, you killed one of ours, we're going to kill you, but at the same time, I think, in a way, accepting, you know, they don't realize that Clark's still alive, obviously we didn't know until the end of the episode, which we all know, we as the viewers knew Clark wasn't dead.
We knew Clark wasn't going to be dead.
But for Bellamy, I think, you know, I think it kind of defeated him in a way. You know?
Yeah.
I think Clark dying is the, you know, as much as everything with Octavia and Bellamy, Octavia's still alive. He may have shunned her and been like, go, you know, whatever. But for Bellamy to lose Clark, even though they're not romantically linked, they have that dynamic. I felt like he's kind of defeated and given up. which
no,
is
he
why
loves her.
Yeah,
I mean, he totally loves her.
Right.
Like a best friend that they like, or a partner,
yeah,
or
yeah,
like they've been through so much together, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mhm. They're family.
Yes, exactly.
And I
so,
think maybe the Primes have miscalculated what these people, you know,
oh,
they're
absolutely.
Always saying like, oh, you're so violent, you're such a violent people, we can't allow you to be with us, blah, 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 because like, what's his name, stupid Jordan, told them all these stories, but so even though they know these stories and keep saying, oh, you're so violent, you're so violent, they really don't know. They really have underestimated, I think, what the 100 are capable of.
Oh, yeah, they don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody can truly ever grasp what they're actually capable of until they've experienced, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Dioza is actually the perfect example. I don't think Dioza realized the fight she got herself into until it was too late.
Yeah.
You know, which is why, part of the reason I think that Dioza kind of backpedaled last season because she realized, I'm screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. It took her a while to finally realize it. I was a little surprised at Murphy because, like, we had discussed last week how we're pretty sure, like, Murphy's not really going to betray. When push comes to shove, Murphy won't betray his people, that he'll come around. And either he's faking it. Like, I thought from the beginning that maybe there's a chance that he was playing Josephine or that he will come around. And he hasn't come around. I mean, when he went into the cell with Murphy, with Bellamy, I was like, okay, here we're going to see. He's going to come around. And he sort of didn't, you know? I mean, he sort of still really, I mean, not sort of. He hasn't come around yet. He still is like, this is what we got to do. I don't want to say he's on Josephine's side, but he's still aligned with her. This is still what he's chosen to do.
You know, I can't. The way they're choosing to play this the way they're choosing to play it is just out of character, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so hard to.
I mean, eventually he'll eventually he'll come around. Eventually he will.
Yeah.
Betray Josephine if he has to. I mean, so. I mean, so everybody else seems to be lined up on the side of like, we got to figure out what's going on. We got to like get rid of these people. We got to, you know, he's really the only one who's buying in. Although, you know, it seems like, so I was really surprised that Abby's the dumbest person on the show. I cannot believe that Josephine used all three of Abby's like
shot.
Weaknesses in one shot. And then Abby just came, right? It's like, oh, well, you killed Dad, and you're an addict, and, like, Kane deserves to live. And I was like, okay, I believe in eugenics. Let's do it. Although, I mean, to be fair, they didn't discuss eugenics at that time. But really, Josephine is, I mean, that book that she wrote that we saw a couple episodes ago was basically about eugenics. And she says to her father this week, you know, if we can, like, make anyone a Nightblood, we can have the genetic pick of the litter. She says, I mean, she's coming back around to this very, like, creepy kind of, basically eugenics thing. Abby, I kind of thought that maybe Abby surprised us. Like, we had that scene which was last week, where Abby was like, Clark, why are you writing with your left hand? And, you know, Josephine quickly distracted her. And I thought, of all people, right? And you think of all people, it would be Abby would be the one who could see, like, my daughter is acting so weird. This is not my daughter. Like, you know, Murphy caught on a lot more quickly. And Josephine mocked him for being slow. And I was kind of wondering, would Abby surprise us and notice that it's not her daughter? Or is Abby so tied up in, like, Kane and still so, like, mentally unfit?
Abby's such an idiot that she's just,
yeah. Abby's a doctor. She knows you can't just write with your other hand. I can't just write with my left hand all of a sudden right now. And, yeah.
Abby's just dumb.
Abby's the worst.
Don't hurt yourself trying to figure it out.
Yeah. But she's going to go along with it and teach them how to make Nightbloods. I found it quite interesting also, a little bit of, you know, maybe lazy writing, that now the Primes are calling it Nightblood. Like, Josephine says to her father in a conversation, oh, she's going to teach us how to make Nightblood, which, like, they had their own name for it, right? And now they're calling it Nightblood. I was like, oh, now we're just, like, going along with whatever. Like, we're just, you know.
Well, maybe that's,
they're speaking,
maybe that's smart for Josephine to do that, because she's pretending to be Clark. But then again, she doesn't have to pretend to be Clark anymore, because pretty much everybody knows now. So,
yeah,
never mind.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, there's nobody who doesn't know except Abby.
Yeah. Is,
nope.
So anything else? Jamie's in the chat. So,
But there's one more thing we have to mention, which is this business about how Octavia's hand is, like, shaking like an old lady, and then Nature Boy is like, let me put a piece of scratch on this rock. First of all, why did he say scratch on this rock when Bioza is sitting there with a pen and a pad right next to him? But instead, he makes Octavia take a rock and, like, make her hand scratch on this other rock. And they're all doing the spiral, and, like, some entity is calling them from the you know, because we're on a magic planet now. We're on the magic Earth. And an entity is calling them. And I just know that I just feel like it's going to be Allie. Because.
No, better fucking not be.
I know, but we're having so much of this, like. We're having so much of Allie's technology. The other thing is that we have Maddie being possessed by the evil commander, which took him about one. I called that, like, as soon as he appeared, right? Yeah. So he was able to basically possess her in, like, without even barely trying, and almost convince her to kill Gaia.
Well, he's not really. I don't want to call it possessing her, but.
Maddie's a
child, so she's very easily influenced, especially since she thinks Clark's dead.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, of course she's going to want to kill him. Which, and not for nothing, I don't think this, I mean, he's obviously not a good thing, but at the same time,
right.
It might not be a bad thing, because it's not like they're just going to kill the idiot.
Yeah.
They don't like it, so.
I mean, basically, it's like embracing your inner blood Reyna. I'm not sure if I think is really cool or really disappointing that we're basically going to see Clark and Maddie have the same storyline. Like, Clark and Maddie are both going to have to fight off an entity that's inside their brain.
That is pretty funny, actually. I hadn't thought about that.
I'm not sure if I like that or not, but. We've got Jamie. Jamie's in the house.
Yes, let me get her on here. Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. You?
Just in time. We were just finishing up that.
So,
well, you have been sitting here listening.
Yeah.
Are you guys gonna do Walking Dead and iZombie first, or do you want to jump into Nosferatu?
Whatever you like.
Let's see if you want to do that so he can hang up or whatever. That's fine.
Yeah,
you want
to do Nosferatu so you can hang up?
I'm gonna hang out either way. I'm gonna
Okay.
Sit on the either way. I just don't know which way
you guys.
You guys.
I don't really care. So whatever you want to do.
All right. Let's do iZombie real quick since it's fresh in your brain since you just watched. No, let's do Fear the Walking Dead. It's a much bigger show on television watched by many more people. Watched it today.
If you're sure.
Yes, I'm sure now. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
I'm sure now. Sorry.
Go for it, ladies.
So this is the episode, from what I'm reading of the recap I was scanning through, the whole thing that takes place in that western town.
Yes.
I thought this one was kind kind of cool. I'm not, I feel like in a way to the story, it was a little bit unneeded. I don't know. I feel like it felt like a side trip, but I think it's a good episode. And, I was glad that Dwight came back. And that was who I was talking about before. I can't remember if you had known he was coming back or we had discussed it, but what I've been saying about somebody coming back, that's who I was talking about.
He's been in the promo for weeks since the season started.
Okay.
There was no, like, the promo department, of course, as usual, blows any kind of surprise that could ever happen on AMC.
Yeah, I think that would have been nice. But
yeah.
I think it was cool that they brought in a crossover character. And cool, especially, I hadn't even thought about it when until Morgan came, that, like, you know, they hadn't seen each other since then or whatever. And I don't know, I didn't really think about it. So I thought their reunion was kind of cool. But, you know, Morgan doesn't want to know anything. I would think he would at least have asked him kind of what happened. I was trying to remember exactly when Dwight left. Do you remember, like, when he left? Was it after they were done fighting? Because that's what I couldn't remember. But then again, I don't remember when Morgan left either. I think it was after.
Well, Morgan left after the fight was over because he couldn't remember, he was going to go live by himself, and Carol
That's
kept
right.
trying to convince him to come back. He left after all the fighting was over, I think. I think he doesn't know that Rick is dead. I think he must know that Carl's dead, but I don't think he knows that Rick is dead.
Okay, I was going to say, because he made it sound like Dwight was there longer, the way they talked, but I couldn't remember. But he didn't want to know anything, so he didn't get to know anything.
Well, yeah, or not yet. I mean, I don't know if we'll see that. I don't know how much they're trying to really cross over the shows
not. I don't
like
know that
if
we need to. I just was kind of curious if it was interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess sounds like he's joined the cast now, and they're trying to tell him she could be alive. I was a little confused, though, I wanted to ask you about the car. I got that he got the registration for the van or whatever that was her clue, but what I don't understand is how did he know, unless I missed something, how did he know that the van they came in was that van, or had he been following it? I don't know. I got lost somewhere along the way and never rewound to figure it out.
Is
that confusing to you too?
Yeah, they seem to have just by chance rolled into town in the car that
he was looking for.
The car that he was looking for, which I guess, so she left him the note written on the back of a car registration, which was for, like, some silver minivan, whatever, but apparently it wasn't the car she was driving. Like, apparently she wrote it on the back of the registration of a very similar-looking car, like, the, you know, the exact same car except for the VIN number. It kind of, like, this is one of those things that if we think about it too much, it'll all fall apart, right?
Yeah, I just wondered if you got it, because I thought it was kind of messed up, and I was trying to figure it out, but I just kind of gave up.
I mean, so I think they're all sort of in the same area. Like, it must be nearby. They must not have driven, although they seem to, like, they drive so many miles that they get out of radio contact, right? But they're all sort of in the same general area, I guess, because they seem to have picked up the car at this campground, and it's a very similar car to the note that she left for him, but it's not the exact same car.
Yeah, so he thought it was the right van, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, I just was thought it was kind of strange. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But basically the whole thing is they kind of take this side trip there. I thought it was interesting seeing kind of some of John's background, but he wouldn't really tell her a lot. The trick shot he made totally was, like, impossible, but was also totally cool, I think.
Yeah.
So it was still pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to see Dwight now. He's changed. We're kind of seeing that other – I mean, not that we weren't seeing that at the end of the regular show, but – kind of seeing how he's evolved since then.
I mean, he immediately tried to apologize to Morgan and explain some stuff, and Morgan's like, no, we're all starting over here.
Like, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of, I know I was going to say, you know, always thought, like, he acted like a cowboy or whatever. I thought it was funny to find out he actually, like, worked as a cowboy, but essentially, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
I kind of really liked how they did this episode like an old cowboy movie. They even had, like, old cowboy music, and they had the whole Wild West town, and a lot of what they did was sort of tropes from Westerns, and I thought it was an interesting way of doing it, and it was an interesting, like, experiment. Like, so One of the reasons I think that we like Fear the Walking Dead better than The Walking Dead is because they're trying, like, more new things. I feel like on Walking Dead, it's just every half a season they run into another person who's more psycho than the last person that they met. And I kind of like that this show is trying. I liked that 2 weeks ago they did the zombies from the nuclear reactor, and so it's bad enough there are zombies, but they're spreading radiation. And then they did this, like, they probably had a lot of fun with this cowboy thing. And, you know, I thought it was kind of a fun episode. Not fun,
right.
But, I enjoyed it. I liked, yeah.
I keep forgetting what I'm going to say, though. I've gotten into my brain, like, 3 times, and then you said something else.
Sorry, I kept talking. Sorry.
That's okay. I'll probably remember it at some point. I was just trying to think of what it was.
I
don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you were going to talk about
I know what I was going to say. I got to say it before I forget.
Yeah.
They made it like a funny thing, and I know it was funny, like this big thing that they found out he calls them walkers. Has Morgan, I never really thought about that, but all the time they've been there, has Morgan never said walkers?
I never really thought of it either. I also thought, I don't think I've ever heard John refer to them as the past until all of a sudden this episode he's like, the past, he kept calling them. Like
the
people
past,
who passed away, right? P-A-S-S-E-D, like people who have passed away.
Oh,
John was calling them
either.
The past. I've never
heard
him say that before.
So many different names at this point. I remember somebody called them the groaners or something. I thought that was maybe
them.
I couldn't remember. But I'm thinking at some point I would think that Morgan would have said that. That's what was so dumb.
Right? Yeah, I can't believe Morgan has never called them the walkers. That was
who knows?
I mean, it was a nice shout-out to the other show, but, yeah, usually people call them the dead on this show, I think. And I was surprised at that. But it definitely took you into, like, a Walking Dead kind of mindset.
But I think it's neat to have a crossover character.
Yeah.
But, like I said, it seemed like this episode, like, it was cool, but I think the whole point was basically to get Dwight on there, and I feel like they, other than picking him up, there wasn't really anything that, I don't know, I felt like there wasn't really anything important that happened, I don't think, at least with them. Now, with Alicia, they find that VM with the kid inside, right? And And you find out that the other kids are maybe tricking them. I'm reading the
It's all set
recap.
Up, yeah. Yeah, it's all set up. So the kids have been calling them saying, like, well, they heard the kids on the radio, and the kids are like, don't come help us, we're hiding, blah, blah, blah. And then it's a setup. Like, that kid is not even – I don't know if he's not really hurt or if they beat him up so he would look hurt or whatever, but the three kids are – you know, it's a ruse. I find it very hard to believe. So the last thing we see is Dylan – no, Dylan's the one that was – whatever, we see the older brother and sister, and they are tying up the zombies by their entrails at the side of the road, right?
Yeah,
and
I don't know
I
how they could have killed that many zombies.
No, I don't buy it either. The first time we saw these kids, they couldn't even shoot straight, and they almost got killed, and Alicia had to save them, right? Unless they were faking it. Are
Unless
they just
they
as bad?
You know, bodies of people and, like, dragged them there that were already... Yeah, but they still would have tried to bite them, I guess. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, I don't even believe that the most badass kid of all, Judas, could have done that. Right? Like,
yeah,
we saw Alicia
marked... not adult-sized walkers.
Alicia marked off the map. There were at least a dozen sites where she marked off that they found 5 and 6 walkers across the road tied by their... Like, it's hard to believe that the kids are behind this by themselves. And I don't know if those kids are... So assuming it's them, what do you think they're doing? What do you think they're, like, hiding?
Well, I can't tell you because I know the answer to that, so I can't...
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to say
that
without
making a fake
guess. Yeah.
I mean, so originally I thought that there was a group of people that are trying to, like, protect their territory, like, basically create the way Alexandria has a wall, they have, like, a wall of zombies to keep people away from them.
Yeah,
I
did think that at the beginning. That's what I thought, too.
And so now I have to think, could the kids really be doing that just to protect their own area? Like, it just seems like not a good, like, it's crazy. Like, how could somebody not get through that pretty easily, and then what's your next line of defense, right? So I don't really know what.
Why would you waste so much time and effort, I feel like, to do that, but I don't
know. Right? That's a lot of time and effort. Like, if you're in a dangerous place, just go someplace else to live, right? Like, the whole United States is available to you with actually very few people.
Although their kid's on foot. I don't know. Well, that's right. They have a car. She's driving. Even
a van. She drives.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she's like a 12-year-old driver. Yeah.
She's a little too young to drive, but hey, it's a zombie apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a good episode. I don't know. Other than, like I said, other than, I mean, Dwight coming on board was kind of a big thing. But I don't know. Other than that, I felt like for some reason, like, the rest of it was uneventful. I feel like they could have met him in 5 minutes and been done. So it wasn't that it wasn't good. I just don't think there was anything, like, really important that happened other than that.
Yeah, but that doesn't really bother me. And I think, like, with this show, they have to have filler episodes. Like, the network is maybe making that, like, with many shows, they're doing more episodes than they maybe have story for. And you know, they gotta like fill up the weeks, I guess. I thought it was
a lot of action. I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was kind of I mean, there was some action in the cowboy land. I thought it was kind of a fun thing. We learned something about people's past. We do have you know, there's this underlying thing going on where every week they're like, we have to help someone, our life has no meaning if we can't find anybody to help, right? And so they're going to help Dwight because it's like their mission. I don't know, it's kind of funny, like, are they helping because they want to help people, or are they helping because it's like for themselves? They're not helping people so that people need help.
Yeah,
they're helping them to like justify their existence,
I feel better about
this
themselves.
Their new
yeah,
thing.
That's true.
Like, this is our new job, helping people. So, and the other thing is, I can't believe Luciana's still alive. Like,
I tend to forget she's alive. They show, I'm like, oh yeah,
right?
That's right.
I'm like, oh yeah, she got impaled 2 weeks ago, and now she's able to ride shotgun in a car.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was an okay episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Dislike it or mind it. So I have to say something. Are you done? I want to say when we're done with the show, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask what the preview was, if you knew, but go ahead.
No. So the preview, what happens in the preview? Oh, the preview goes back to trying to get the plane. They showed, like, they have some plan to try. They showed Daniel, and there appears to be some sort of, it looks like Coleman Domingo, who Victor, has some plan to like let zombies inside there and distract Daniel and take his plane or something. I don't know. That's what the promo was. But they showed the cat twice in the promo, and I'm really worried about Daniel's little cat, because they showed him. They showed two shots of him that are different from the previous shot that was in the promo, and they showed him like standing on his little hind legs looking in a window, and they showed some other shot of him. And I'm like, oh my god, that cat had better live, because we already saw a cat get killed this week in one of our shows, and I can't take another one.
Yeah, I know. I know, I was thinking about that earlier when I was reading through what happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, Karen wasn't happy with that. Neither was I. I won't tell you. But the cat's a cute character in this. I'll say that. I like the cat. I was more or less asking if I couldn't remember if it showed that. Well, I didn't watch it this time. I'd watch a screen of them. And I didn't know if you knew Daniel was coming. I couldn't remember if we talked about it.
He was already on like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Well, I watched them all at once, or in two doses or something.
Well, maybe he was on. We didn't have a podcast last week, so maybe we didn't talk about him and how.
Yeah, that's probably why. Yeah.
How horrible a character he is, and of all people to bring back, he would be last on my list. And he hasn't changed at all. We might have talked about this. He might have been on two weeks ago.
I don't know. I didn't mind him so much this time, though.
I'll
just say that. That's all I'll say, because I can't really say anything anyway.
No.
All right.
One other piece of speculation. So I think the show is bringing us to suspect that possibly has Sherry been kidnapped by the same people who kidnapped Al? We don't know.
Oh, I'm dumb. I didn't think of that.
Right? Oh, you didn't? Oh.
No, I didn't. I didn't think that far along. It didn't take.
Oh.
I didn't give the show that many brain cells. But
I mean,
no, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, we don't have any reason to think that she has been kidnapped, because she's just been, you know, on the move.
Right, but it's kind of, I never thought about that. It kind of But I don't want to say implies that because it really doesn't. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
Said that, so.
I was wondering that a lot all through this episode when Dwight was lamenting not being able to find his wife. I'm like, oh, I wonder if when they find Al, they're also going to find Sherry and she'll be a character also.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know that we need her. I don't remember. I mean, I guess she wasn't really in it that much for me to say whether I liked her or didn't like her.
She was one of Negan's wives. She was one of Negan's, like, harem of, like, unwilling wives. And, you know, she left, she escaped. Did Eugene help her escape? I'm not sure, but she escaped from Negan and went on the, somehow got away and went on the land.
Or her husband let her escape. I couldn't remember, but I know he blamed him. I know that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's good enough for The Walking Dead. For The Walking Dead this week.
I want to move on to Nosferatu now.
Okay.
Now, it's been a while since I've seen this. You might have to remind me a little bit. From what I had looked up, we learn a tiny bit about Jolene, and this is the episode where they go after the girl, the little girl, right?
Yes, in this episode, Charlie Manx comes to Haverhill. He finds this woman, this old lady, Jolene, in the nursing home. He thinks maybe she's the person he was looking for, but she's not. And then also in this episode is when Vic goes to visit RISD with the rich kids.
She what?
On the college visit. She goes to visit RISD. She goes to Rhode Island to visit the college she wants to go to.
Oh, this is where she goes
to visit.
With the rich kids.
Okay. Yeah. And they do kidnap that little girl who is her friend.
Right,
yes.
Right.
I have some issues with this program. Yeah. That that cat was going to be killed?
I told the girl from a mile away because what's her face there? Vic is so against helping.
Yeah, you knew it was me.
And now she's going to be like, it's on.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, that's a little bit, I like Vic a lot. I like the character a lot. But Vic, was not interested in finding a missing little boy who could be in big trouble. But she only becomes engaged when it's a child that's a friend of hers. She was like, I don't want to get involved. I don't care. I'm trying to get out of this town. I got my own shit. And she really wasn't that interested in finding a missing child until it was a child who's important to her. So,
I can kind of understand not wanting to risk her life, though, for that. But now she's more
obvious
interested.
That they were going to set it up that way.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
AJ, how did you enjoy this episode? You haven't been talking much since we had two shows to talk about.
I like it. I mean, there's nothing. How do I put this? It's nothing that's like, oh my god, this show is so great. It's like the next great thing or anything, but it's enjoyable. It's entertaining. It's pretty basic and straightforward, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, as it goes on, too, it gets more complicated and involved. Is this the one where we learn about, I don't want to say it in case we don't, but is this the one where we learn about Bing's backstory a bit?
About what?
Bing. The one who
Bing?
Kidnapped the one who's working with Manx.
Right.
The guy who works at the high school?
Last week we saw his dream about his parents. Is that what you're saying?
I have no idea what you said. It came out garbled.
He had a dream
about
his parents last week.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, I didn't know how much it said about his parents. I don't want to say anything. I don't know exactly what was on. I don't remember. But anyway, he's working with him now, so I'm scanning as I'm talking. But I don't know. I think this show gets more and more involved, and it gets better the more into the main part of it as it gets, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. How many episodes is it? I'm losing interest in this show.
I just watched them. I don't even know my 10. I think I watch it to the end, though. I think you'll like it if you keep watching it.
I continue to be very interested in Vic as a character, and I'm really invested in, like, is she going to get out of this town? Is she going to, have any deal with her parents and all this? And every time Zachary Quinto comes on the screen, and I love Zachary Quinto, and it's disappointing to me that every time he comes on the screen, I begin to lose interest in this show. I don't find him scary. I don't find the old man makeup particularly good. I don't, part of my problem might be that I have no explanation or motivation or anything about him. He's just like a creepy dude who like goes around being creepy. We don't really know. I feel like he's very, I feel like he's a textbook serial killer. Like, I feel like I'm watching an episode of Profiler where they talk about, like, he thinks he's helping the children and saving them from their parents. And this is two sets of parents now that have sex and Charlie Manx kills them. So, like, I don't know why sex is bad in this show. Like, this is the second parent that, like,
actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think the gas kills anybody. I think it just knocks them out.
All right, whatever. He killed the mother in the previous...
He used the gas on a little girl, too.
He didn't gas Daniel.
Yes.
He didn't gas Daniel. He just lured Daniel to the car.
Yeah.
But,
right, he didn't have him then. But...
Well, he had another guy that worked for him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But yeah,
right.
The gassing him knocks him out, but that is separate from him killing them or not.
That's what I'm saying. The first one, whatever.
In the first one, they killed a bunch of people. So he didn't kill anybody in this, but whatever. Like, the first one, the mother's actively having sex when they come to take the child from her. In this one, he walks in, and they show this ridiculous condom that's been artfully placed on top of the trash can for the whole audience to see.
Yeah, that was...
That was brought into the kitchen for that purpose. For the bedroom.
Right, yeah.
I didn't understand what the point of that was.
I think it was just a thing, but yeah.
I mean, I don't understand, like what message is being given here that, like one, I guess they shouldn't ever have sex. They should just devote their lives there. Like, I don't know. But we don't have, I guess I'm digressing a little, but.
I
can't watch 10 episodes till I find him to be a compelling villain. If the villain's not compelling by episode 3, right? I don't know if you guys agree. I find Charlie Manx to be kind of a boring guy. He's not scary, and I'm afraid of everything, right?
This show's more creepy than scary, I'd say, and it's not super violent for the most part.
Yeah.
There is one part that's kind of violent, but
yeah.
The most part it's not. And I've said before, I wish they had given it another name, because you really wouldn't, for a long time, know... that it even
is. It a vampire?
I mean,
he
takes their youth, but what confuses me is he doesn't seem to ever drink blood when he gets young. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. It's a different kind of vampire or whatever. And I think it would have been, in my opinion, more interesting to find out more about it as it went along. But, I mean, the book's been out, so I don't know. People might have, talked about it anyway, but he named it that, so.
You know what it reminds me of, actually? That stupid show Midnight Texas. That vampire who took like life essence. That's what this reminds me of.
Oh, he was a
apparently this is through osmosis. He doesn't even touch the kids.
He doesn't touch them. He doesn't do anything to like drain them.
Yeah,
you were
saying, I guess, his power in ways like that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
So honestly, I wouldn't even call him a vampire. But it's funny actually, because when I read the press release about it, it says right in the press release a different kind of vampire. Well, no, there isn't a different kind of vampire. Like, you know, saying a different kind of vampire, you know, you have Dracula, and then you have
The Strain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Say a different kind of vampire,
different
kind of vampire story, though.
Those are different type of vampires, but they're still vampires. Okay.
Charlie.
Because
they drink blood. Yeah. I'll give you that. Yeah.
So.
I gotta say, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I agree with you. I don't find Charlie Manx to be intimidating at all. I mean, personally, I think pretty much anybody in town. I think Vic's dad, if he was drunk off his ass, could take out Charlie Manx.
Just punch him in the face. I mean,
Exactly. I don't find him intimidating at all. I mean, maybe when Vic and Maggie finally come face to face with him, he'll turn out to be a more formidable foe than we're being led to believe. But leading up to it, I'm not really worried for anybody other than the kids who can't defend themselves.
Yeah, and I kind of...
I don't like that Ben seems like a decent guy. So why is he buying into this crap?
Who? The guy that's working for him?
I
feel like... So nothing's been really explained here, but I get the feeling that he's like a little... A little slow. I hate to say slow. That's not the way we talk about. But he might be like a little bit developmentally
challenged,
behind, challenged, or not be. And I guess maybe that dream about his parents was really scary for him or something. Like, I guess partly I got that idea when he's like.
I wonder if you're talking about the flashback when you say the dream and you're thinking of something that I'm calling something else.
Whatever.
No,
he's sleeping and he has this dream about his parents.
And then the moon winked at him.
You might not have seen what I'm thinking of.
Well, I mean, I got the idea when he was reading the comic book, and so, yes, grown people read comic books. I don't think grown people apply for jobs in the back of comic books. But I don't know. Like, I just, and the way Vic
That's
talked to him, like, this week when she talked to him at school, I just get the idea that he's maybe not, maybe he's a kind of person who's very easily swayed by someone with a superior intellect.
Yeah, I kind of took that from the
beginning. Yeah.
He's a little off,
I think, so for me, the absolute worst, the lowest point of this episode for me was when Scrabble Girl comes to visit, who apparently has some kind of teleporter that she can get there in like 5 minutes. Maggie comes to visit. And Maggie... But it was like the fastest plane ever. She like gets there. She comes to the nursing home, and she goes in this old lady's room, and that whole scene was ridiculous. And I felt like, did you ever see the episode? I felt like I was watching Seinfeld. Did you ever see like the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer gets kennel cough and he goes to the veterinarian and he can't talk? And he's like, and the cops are going, what is it, boy? What is it? There's trouble at the, you know, what is it, Lassie? There's trouble in the mine?
Yeah.
Can he fall in a well? Show us the way. And you know, I felt like she goes in this room and she's like, what is it, old lady? Wait, what? Is this a picture of you? Are you a strong creative? Are the skates your knife? Oh, my God. Let me run out there and find Vic. And I was like, what the hell just happened in this scene? Like there's no way that – I just felt like they could have given it to her – That was ridiculous. That was a poor, poor scene.
I would agree, though. I think that she's supposed to also psychically kind of feel her or whatever as being another creative. And everything. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I think the more it goes on, the more and more, at least to me, though, I got invested in Vic. Like, I told you at the beginning, like, I mean, not that I wanted to see both, but, I mean, I liked the other part, I think, more like the first episode. But then the further I got into it, I was more like wanting to know what happened to Vic.
I'm fully invested in Vic. I would like to just watch a show about Vic trying to go to college, really. Like a normal drama about these people would really be interesting to me.
Yeah, speaking of that scene, though, I felt like the scene just felt very awkward and uncomfortable.
She said what?
Because it all happened, like you said, it happened so quick. She jumped from question to question and knew the answer. It's like, why are you asking?
Yeah, and it was kind of like unnecessary because, then she goes and explains also to Vic that he, there's another strong creative and he's, really the Scrabble files could have given her this information. That scene was like unnecessary and done poorly. At least if it was unnecessary, but it was really well done, I'd be like, oh, that was some great acting. That was some really interesting writing. But it was, I was like, what just happened in this scene? And how she could possibly deduce that from this picture that her skates are her knife and she, I mean, she didn't even, like, see a skate on the floor. It's not like Charlie Manx, like, she was found wearing roller skates or she sees the skates in the corner or something. Like, she just, somehow,
that much. That would have helped.
She just somehow deduces that here's a picture of her wearing skates and, oh, my, she must be, and he paralyzed her. Like, how does she even jump to that? What? She doesn't even ask about that in the next scene. She's like, Vic, he paralyzed her. He's really, that was. I don't know. And in the meantime, I so love the way they're putting so much into Vic's character development and making her this really, like, you know, complex character that, you know, really, I really understand who she is, what she wants, how she feels. And her villain is cardboard right now. We don't have an equally well drawn out villain. Like, even your standard, you know, like, I don't know if he's going to get some motivation other than just being, like, you know, bad and having this excuse that he's saving kids.
And it's funny because I completely agree because the whole time I'm thinking, you know, the things I'm thinking about in the episode, because, like I said, I don't find the villain compelling or in any way, shape, or form that we won't be able to defeat him easily once we do have to come up against him. My thought is, how can either of Vic's parents file tax returns in the last 10 years and own a house, number one? Number two... I hope Vic gets away with what she's doing so she can get into college.
Yeah. Plus, like, in this day and age, like if rich people want to be sending, like, the people that the mother, that Linda is sending, that Linda cleans houses for, these are the kind of people that maybe file on their, like, taxes on their domestic employees, right? I mean, I guess she's just a cleaning lady and she just is all under the table, but, like, it's increasingly difficult for people to, like, you know, that means you could never pay her by check because it'd be true. Like, she makes all
the
money in cash
all
the time. And
rich. It makes sense that she would do that for her. Unless she does it for her because she knows she needs it and she's, like, her friend's mother.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's that possibility.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's horrible, though, that they basically, like, are like, well, it's too bad. You don't need to go to college. Like, they're not even trying to find a way to fix it. They just want her to stay and be end up like them, which is
pretty
cool.
Also, like, I'm not trying to, I don't really know what the rules are right now about sending kids to college, but I'm pretty sure that if you're over 18, like, you're not, they don't automatically declare you independent until you're 24. I think she could easily get herself declared independent of her parents without having to be like, they're like, well, you could allege abuse in the household or you could join the military.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure poor kids with whose parents can't file those papers go to college all the time without having to, like,
what I don't understand is, do they even have to have that information? I mean, I don't remember what it is, but that information from their parents, because I would think that if you're not having your parents pay for it, it shouldn't matter, but it might have been because she was filing to get money and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. She was applying for financial aid, but I'm pretty sure if she was declared an independent adult that she could, you know, get grants and loans and work study and a job. And, you know, I mean, I think there are ways for, I mean, the children of, I mean, well, illegal people that are undocumented in this country still pay taxes, but there's a way, right?
I mean, it's actually very simple. She could get a job and have herself emancipated, and then she doesn't need shit from her parents.
Is it really that easy, though, to become emancipated? I mean, I think there's, like, a lot more involved than just them saying you're emancipated.
But she's 18. She doesn't need to be emancipated. She's 18.
Right?
Once you're 18, you don't need to be emancipated. You're just 18.
I thought she was 17.
That's true. Like, why would she need all that? Yeah.
I mean, maybe she could. So if you don't want your parents to contribute financial aid, you can't live with them anymore. You can't, like, you have to pay your own way to do whatever. But I'm pretty sure that this is an oversimplified thing and that they gave her some bad information and that she probably could work it out if they wanted to admit a talented kid to that school.
Yeah.
Right.
It just, you know what it feels like? It kind of feels like they're forcing the issue.
Yeah.
You know, like making it more difficult than it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of grants and ways for young people that have families that don't have a lot of money to get financial aid.
I mean, maybe she just got a jerk financial aid advisor who is biased or doesn't want her or whatever, but I mean, that was, you know, it was set up to, like,
I feel like it's intentionally set up. I feel like this is going to pay off somewhere down the road intentionally like this.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to, I feel like it's one of those, you know how we talk about on a lot of shows, people doing stupid things, the progressive story. I feel like that's what this is. Like, this is more of a plot device than an actual, hey, we took the time to research this.
Well, I kind of agree with you that all along I felt like this is a bad idea to bypass the mother. Like, you know, Vic comes over and says to her friend, your mom said she'd help me. And the friend's like, oh, don't talk to my mom. I'll take care of it. Let's go on an adventure. And I felt like, oh, no, you really should be talking to the mom. Like, I think the mom knows more about this. Than your friend who got this idea right after she smoked pot.
That's
true. I think you're right, AJ. Let's remember that and see if it's going to pay off in a few weeks.
Be one of those situations where in the book there might be more to it, but on TV with 10 episodes, so that's not necessary.
They have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. In the books, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, there is sort of this, like, underlying story about adults failing their children. And, you know, Charlie Manx thinks that he thinks that he's saving these kids, or he's just saying that to manipulate his henchmen. Because really, we know that he's some sort of, like, vampire that's sucking their youth out of them. He's not really trying to save these kids to a place they'll be loved forever. He's dreaming of their youth. There's this, you know, he says he's saving them from parents who are failing them, and, like, I think it's arguable whether Vic's parents are failing her. I mean, I do think that her mother is not right. I do think her mother is unnecessarily negative about, like, you know, where people don't go to college, blah, blah. But I think she's a person who's had, like, a hard life and doesn't really see any way out of this town for anyone. I think she's trying to maybe, like, keep her daughter from having her heart broken, or, like, keep her from having, like, unrealistic. Like, she thinks she's doing the right thing. I don't think she's necessarily a neglectful parent. She's a negative person married to an abusive alcoholic.
Honestly, I'm not sure which one of her parents I think is worse.
Yeah, I mean, she obviously adores her father, and he's the abusive alcoholic who strikes her mother, right? And is cheating and all this stuff. And yet it does seem that
she has a hard time accepting that for a while and kind of seeing what's really going on, you know?
I mean, her mother is like, I don't know, Jamie, that interview that you did recently, when you're going to post that.
In the next couple of days, I was going to get to that. So it's Virginia Cole who plays her mother. Go ahead.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but she has some interesting insight into her character, and people might want to read that, because reading it last night, I think I really got some, I mean, she really articulated some things that we see in this woman.
It's
funny the way things, you know, because we can tell that Vic and her mom aren't the closest, you know, and I keep feeling like her mom's telling her, oh, you can't go to college, this, that, and the other thing. because she's afraid to be alone. Because now, especially now, the husband's left, and Vicky's
all alone.
Granted, Vic already essentially left because she wasn't with Dad and the costume designer, or whatever the hell she is.
Yeah, that's true. So she's kind of worried. That's a good point. Yeah. I'm just so. I would watch. Go ahead. Both her parents.
I was just gonna say, both her parents are bad. And this is actually funny, but I feel like the mother is actually worse, simply because. It seems like, like I said, she's doing it because she doesn't want to be alone, where at least the dad seems to genuinely care what Vic wants. He can't help her because of the whole not having filed taxes thing, but at least he seems to, I feel like he cares more about Vic than the mom does.
He should, take care of her,
I think he's
an addict, and
I think he's more like the one that people look as the fun parent, that doesn't correct her and doesn't make her listen. Like, that's the mother's job, which then makes her resent her. That's what I kind of
think. I feel like the father's like, you can be anything. You can be anything you want to be. You can be whatever you want. I'm encouraging you, except don't ask me to actually do anything or, put down my beer or have plan from the day. Like, I think that he's not even, the minute it inconveniences him, then he's going to have to file taxes and then he's got nothing else. He's got no ideas. He's not like, well, I've never filed taxes, but let me help you see if there's another way. He's like, talk to your mother as soon as it's inconvenient for him. And yes, going to, I'm not sure. People do go to jail for tax evasion, but I think it has to be pretty severe, because if the IRS puts you in jail, they will never get their money. But if they hound you for the rest of your life, maybe they would go to prison, maybe they wouldn't.
I think there's got to be another way. And I can understand them not wanting to show their taxes. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I almost wanted to say, because the way they didn't even care, I kind of wanted to say, just turn them in and go. But that's not going to solve things either. So, but
I think they're just too extreme. So, daddy fun time encouraging without any real ability to, and the mother is trying to give a reality check, but she's being too negative and it's killing her kid's dream, right? Between them there, I think you're right, AJ. It's not really clear which one is worse. But yeah, I would watch, I'm very interested in that. I would watch a whole show about just Vic and her family and her life without even any of the supernatural element of it.
I'm pretty sure we just talked more about Vic and her family than any other thing about the show.
Yeah.
This is true.
Because,
your point.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing right now, this is a waste of Zachary Quinto's talents. He's a great actor who I'm interested in seeing. And I think that I'm surprised that he's in this show, that he's not in a better show, or that maybe it'll get better, make better use of him. But for right now, a nameless actor could play that role.
That's true.
For me. So anyway, I'll do it another week. Actually, I won't be. I'll try to watch it next week. I'll be away on Sunday, but I can try to watch it. So, all right.
Okay. So
anything else, you guys?
I think that's
it.
Let's
move
on.
You guys can move on to.
Okay.
Let's do.
Yeah, iZombie quickly.
Okay.
So, it was about a chef. Somebody stole the brains. And that the chef had, or that the brain chef had. But anyway, the other chef got killed and wrapped in saran wrapped, essentially. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the only thing that was really relevant was that they found out that Justin was the mole, which I thought was really sad because he was always the good guy. I always liked him. I was disappointed to discover that he was kind of one of the bad guys. And then, of course, the other big thing is that she goes and meets her father, right? But my question is that's the guy that was like the bad one that's running everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the head of the zombie resistance.
That's not
Yeah.
Well, he's not so. I don't think he's leader of the zombie resistance because he's a zombie, but
no, the zombie resistance. Zombies resisting the human control.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
There's the human resistance and the zombie resistance.
Okay.
The human resistance, who is that horrible food truck lady, and then he's the head of, like, the zombie resistance.
Right, right. You want to take over the... Because he's the one that had those guys unfrozen. That's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
But
he was remarkably easy to find, considering that her mother was like, yeah, he's a junkie living in the street, and then, like,
well,
no, he actually is.
In the streets now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Liv works for the police department and maybe can more easily track people down.
That's true. I felt that, like, her mother was really horrible to her, and her brother doesn't even want to see her. I guess they knew she was a zombie. Like, I didn't get if she was saying that she just knew it now or she already had known she was a zombie. Because
she
didn't know it until then or until that day or whatever. But the point is, if they knew she was a zombie, to still be mad at her of not helping her brother, I mean, that's kind of, like, petty. She couldn't help him anyway. So, like, she was scared, you know? You would think her family should be able to forgive her, but...
No, but they hated her before. Her mother is a zombie hater. And I think...
Oh, that's true. But her mother was mad at her because she wouldn't give her blood or whatever to save her brother, and she couldn't do
because she was a zombie.
Right,
yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
But, like, the
fact
that he would still blame her, especially unless the mother just isn't telling him.
To be honest with you, I forgot she had a brother, and I'm surprised they brought this storyline back. It's the end of the show, and they're trying to, like, tie up loose ends, but I didn't really consider that a loose end. I literally, like, forgot any of that happened, which was way back in, like, season one. And for, like, 3 years now, we've never heard Liv say, like, I miss my brother or I miss my... Like, it's not like it's a part of her character lately that she misses her family, right? They just, like, came out of nowhere all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree.
But her mother was always a jerk, and so her mother was saying stuff in this episode like, you left your brother to die in the street, and I don't really remember that happening, and I don't know if her mother...
I don't remember either.
I know. I thought it was a muzzle, but she said you left him to die. I don't really know what that means. I don't really. And
I
totally forgot, did we ever know that Liv didn't know who her father was? Like, has that ever been a thing? I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she knew. I think she was just saying there that her and her brother always suspected it wasn't who she tried to say it was, I think is what she meant. That's how I took it.
Yeah, that's how I took it also. But
her brother. The other thing I was trying to figure out, which is what I was talking to when it first started asking you about, is the girl that was turned into a zombie that was mad at Chase Graves and stuff and threatening him and came to Major... that got kidnapped at the end. Who the hell is she? I don't remember. Like, I remember her, but I can't remember anything about her to know who she is.
I can't. Like, I just watched the show 3 days ago and don't remember that happening at all.
Yeah, and she was
that's
a girl
how much I know about
it
that.
It showed her in the recap part that she had gone to Chase Graves and was mad because they made her a zombie and wouldn't let her. I think they wouldn't let her leave Seattle or something.
Chase is dead
her
now.
Her father is, I guess, either the guy that decides about the bomb or has great influence over the one that was deciding to put the bomb off. That's what I got out of it. So,
I don't know.
Not Chase.
Major
wants her to use her connections or whatever to help everybody because it's none of their best interest if they bomb Seattle, so... That was kind of what that was about. But I feel like that was that and Clive accidentally getting his baby mama potentially hurt was the other storyline. Like, there was a couple small threads like that, but none of them were really important. And, I mean, really neither was the main murderer. So the thing that I think is funny is, like, they have these restaurants and that, and they have these food. I guess they're making really spicy food when they catered it to zombies, because I forgot that they really can't taste anything, because they even make
No, zombie food has to be made really spicy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised with, we're midway through the season now. We have only, what, like 5 or 6 episodes left. And so it's surprising to me that they're bringing up these sort of, like, I guess you can call them loose ends, but they're not things that I really thought were important to the characters. Like, who's your father?
Yeah,
or you have a brother and a mother? Like, I guess it's important to you if your mother won't speak to you. But, it's not a thing that's been on the show that apparently is bothering.
We wondered about or cared about.
Yeah.
The other storyline was with those kids and him talking to that doctor and helping her out going to see her sister, which, again, wasn't really relevant to the story, other than she's going to give him the list of where all those kids are. Although, I'm not sure how that's going to help him. What is he going to do, go kidnap all the kids so nobody else can find them? I didn't quite get how him having that list is going to help anybody.
I don't know either. This was not a good episode. It sort of, the story is beginning to get a little, like, too all over the place right now.
But nothing really happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so Blaine is out of business pretty much. We didn't see much about Blaine. We didn't see anything about Peyton. We got all this new stuff with Liz. Not new, but. I know, but, you know, he's a main character. Like, do I need them introducing, like, I don't know. It bothers me when we get near the end and we're not focusing on, like, things that I want to see. I did kind of like that, you know, we saw sort of like a, I don't want to say it's a new major, but I don't want to say I agree with the Fillmore Gray's guy, the soldiers who were, like, rebelling against Major. I don't totally agree with them, but I do think that Major has not demonstrated himself to be command material.
Right. Yeah.
He's indecisive. He's wishy-washy. He's got too soft a heart to be commander of, like, you know, basically the occupying militia that occupies the city. And he finally, like, you know, he took action. He set a trap. And he shot his friend in the head when, you know.
And he falls. I was sad. That's Liv's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. I have liked him for a long time, but I think part of the show is that the lines are being drawn. And that, you know, are these people going to be able to live together or not? And I guess not. I mean, we did see, I guess it was, we still have the cure out there, and I'm still kind of half expecting that they're going to find the cure before the next 5 episodes are over, right? Like,
yeah,
they're the missing cures. They're the missing cures that Blaine stole that then Donnie sold, I guess, right? There's
right,
got to be one of them around.
Maybe they can do
it recreate
it,
right?
Yeah.
Well, with the
maybe
toilet
that's
kids, but
kids, too. I don't know. But I think he can only take it from them once they're dead, though, right? Wasn't that part of it?
Yeah, but they'd have to die, right? Like, I don't know that I see a storyline that relies on 300
kids saying, like,
eventually
if one of them
dying.
Dies, maybe he can use it to figure out something. I did like, that was one thing I was going to say, reminded me when you were saying that. I did like the thing in the last episode, and we just, because we didn't talk about it, with Blaine, where, like, he basically, to get the money, he sells the kid, like, her, you know, body to, not the science, but to save that guy. But he's like, yeah, but you can't have her die. So, like, he actually did something good that he didn't have to do, which I liked. I thought was nice, because I've always liked Blaine. I want him to be
Blaine said, I can arrange for her to die. Blaine basically was like, we can arrange for her to die sooner.
He didn't say that,
that's
but I kind of took it, to, I guess. I don't know. I kind of took it to mean he wasn't really planning on doing that. I don't know. I figured he just said
that. Oh, I
took
it to mean.
I wouldn't want that, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think he's gotten worse, and I don't know if Blaine survives the show. He might have to die. He's gotten worse.
Oh, yeah,
I totally took that to mean that he was offering to either convince that girl that, so, you know.
Yeah, he was offering that, but I didn't think he really was going to do it, though. I thought he was just saying that because he knew the guy wasn't going to pay for it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just took it a little different. Because otherwise, I don't know why he would have even said to him in the first place, you can't kill her. You know, you get her after death or whatever. Like, he figured out a way to make that be the sale when normally he wouldn't have cared. So I don't know. It just seems to me kind of like he did the opposite if he was, like, didn't care about killing her 2 seconds later. I don't know.
I don't think he's redeemable. He's a bad,
no,
bad
I don't think
person.
He's redeemable. I just always liked him. I wanted him to be good. So
he's not. Sorry.
All right.
All right. That's about that for that show.
Yeah, I think that's about all I watched too. And I'm getting really sleepy.
All right.
I'm trying to stay awake.
That's all we had this week.
Yeah, I think
so. All right.
But everybody check out that Nosferatu interview. It'll be up in the next couple days. And I think that's about it.
Great. That was a good interview.
All right.
All right.
Yep, thanks.
All right. Have a good night,
thanks,
guys.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
You too.
Have
Bye.
A good night, ladies.
Great. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. And we will do it again next week. So have a good night, everybody. Oh, actually, just thought of something.
Yeah.
August, we will be starting the final season of Preacher. So put that
Yay.
On your calendars, everybody. I didn't know it was the final season until I saw the preview.
Yeah.
I saw Preacher.
It might be time.
The final season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've kind of. I mean, I could see two more seasons out of it. But I have complained in the past about the slow moving, especially last season.
Yeah.
So hopefully we kind of speed things up and jump around a little more. Yeah. So, but anyway, we got that coming up in August.
All right.
So. All right.
Great.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good night. Do it again next week.
Bye.
Good night.